Ever promised yourself you'd start that important project tomorrow, only to find yourself making the same promise a week later? Here's the uncomfortable truth. Procrastination isn't about poor time management or laziness. It's voluntary self-sabotage. We deliberately avoid actions that would benefit us, fully aware we're creating problems for our future selves. About 1 in 5 adults struggle chronically with this pattern, affecting everything from career advancement to health decisions. What distinguishes true procrastination from necessary delay is simple. Nothing prevents action except our own reluctance. When you reschedule a meeting to gather crucial information, that's strategic. When you binge-watch Netflix instead of preparing for tomorrow's presentation, that's procrastination. The real puzzle isn't why we delay occasionally, it's why we repeatedly harm ourselves despite knowing better. The costs of procrastination extend far beyond missed deadlines. Research reveals a devastating trifecta: lower achievement, increased negative emotions, and serious health consequences. Perhaps most surprising, procrastination doesn't even feel good while we're doing it. Studies show that even while actively avoiding tasks, we experience guilt and anxiety, not the relief we're seeking. The health toll manifests in two ways. Stress compromises our immune system, and we delay crucial health behaviors like exercise and medical checkups. Financially, procrastinating on retirement savings can cost hundreds of thousands in lost compound growth, but the existential cost cuts deepest. Time is our only truly finite resource. When we procrastinate on goals that matter, we're not just delaying tasks, we're postponing our lives. What dreams have you shelved with someday? The gap between your intentions and actions represents the real price of procrastination. Procrastination isn't about time management. It's about emotion management. When facing boring, frustrating, or ambiguous tasks, we experience negative emotions. Rather than sitting with discomfort, we choose immediate mood repair, checking social media, organizing our desk, anything to feel better now. This temporary relief creates a vicious cycle through negative reinforcement. Think about the last time you avoided a difficult project. As anxiety crept in, you found something, anything, to make that feeling go away. That momentary relief trained your brain to repeat the pattern. The solution isn't simply sucking it up. Instead, develop emotional intelligence to recognize you're experiencing fear or frustration without becoming those emotions. You can work from other parts of yourself, curiosity, determination, or values, while acknowledging the discomfort. When you feel that familiar urge to escape, remember, you don't have to be controlled by emotions to experience them. "I'll feel more like doing it tomorrow" might be the procrastinator's most persistent self-deception. But research on effective forecasting, our ability to predict future emotional states, reveals why tomorrow never comes. We suffer from two critical biases: focalism, underestimating how other events will affect our future feelings, and presentism, overemphasizing current feelings when predicting future ones. Right now, imagining future action feels good. You get immediate relief from delaying, plus the satisfaction of having righteous intentions. You incorrectly assume you'll feel equally motivated when it's time to act. Here's the liberating truth that changes everything. Your current motivational state doesn't need to match your intention for you to act. Athletes don't only train when they feel like it. Writers don't wait for inspiration. They show up regardless of mood because they understand a powerful principle. Attitudes often follow behaviors more than behaviors follow attitudes. When tomorrow arrives and you feel less enthusiastic than expected, recognize this as a predictable forecasting error. Start anyway. The motivation will follow action, not precede it. Several cognitive biases sabotage our intentions. Temporal discounting makes future rewards seem smaller, like viewing a distant mountain and assuming it's tiny. The planning fallacy, fueled by optimism, leads us to believe we can accomplish more in less time than reality allows. We focus on the singular event ahead rather than learning from past experiences. Self-handicapping turns procrastination into a strategic excuse. If we fail, we blame lack of time rather than ability. If we succeed, despite the handicap, we seem especially talented. Perhaps most insidious is the myth, "I work better under pressure." Research consistently shows time pressure produces more errors, not better work. A more honest statement would be, "I only work under pressure." We delay until external deadlines force action, typically resulting in poorer performance. The key to overcoming these mental traps is awareness. When you catch yourself thinking, "There's lots of time yet," or "It's not that important," recognize these as red flags. Use them as triggers for a different response. Just get started, even for 5 minutes. Getting started changes everything. Research shows tasks we've been avoiding feel significantly less stressful once we begin. In one study, participants rated avoided tasks at 8.2 on a stress scale. After 10 minutes of engagement, that rating dropped to 4.5. Our pre-task anxiety almost always exceeds reality. Starting creates momentum, shifts self-perception, and generates the motivation we thought we needed beforehand. Focus on just getting started rather than just do it. Break tasks into components smaller than 10 minutes, and you're 3 times more likely to begin. But starting isn't enough. Proactively minimize interruptions before beginning. Close doors, silence phones, disable social media. Then create implementation intentions, specific if-then plans that shield your goals. If my phone buzzers, then I will ignore it until my timer goes off. These pre-decisions work independently of motivation, maintaining focus when willpower feels depleted. Willpower functions as a limited resource that depletes throughout the day, which is why evening exercise plans often fail. Schedule important tasks earlier when self-regulatory strength is highest. Remember, depletion partly reflects perception. When highly motivated or connected to values, you can persevere despite feeling depleted. Personality matters. Conscientiousness correlates with less procrastination, while perfectionism increases it. But you're not imprisoned by your traits. Strategic implementation intentions help you act out of character. If you're impulsive, reduce environmental temptations before working. If you're disorganized, structure tasks with detailed to-do lists. Digital technology presents unique challenges. Nearly half of online time involves procrastination. Disconnect from unnecessary programs while working. Self-change requires patience through inevitable setbacks. Focus on one or two changes at a time rather than wholesale transformation. When you stumble, practice self-forgiveness. Research shows forgiving ourselves for past procrastination reduces future procrastination by shifting from avoidance to approach motivation. Progress is uneven. You'll leap forward one day and fall back the next. The key is persistence and core strategies. Stay with negative emotions, expect to feel less motivated than anticipated, use your rationalizations as triggers for action, and just get started. You've finished reading about procrastination. Now close this and take one small action on something that matters to you. The puzzle can be solved, but only through doing, not understanding alone.